This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
As legal experts continue to deconstruct the not guilty verdict in the George Zimmerman trial, the man accused of murdering Trayvon Martin, an ugly truth rears its head again. Racial disparities are alive and well in our criminal justice system. In truth, when African-American boys and men are killed by non-blacks, more often than not, justice will not be served. Trayvon Martin is the latest name on a long list of African-American boys and men whose non-black killers escape justice in American courts, a list that runs from Emmett Till to Amadou Diallo to Oscar Grant to Sean Bell. Meanwhile, justice for Trayvon rallies and vigils continue to be held throughout the country. And Building Bridges brings you highlights of the New York City rally, where the Reverend Al Sharpton demanded that the Justice Department pursue a federal civil rights case against Zimmerman and called for a rollback of Stand Your Ground self-defense laws. Trayvon Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, also spoke to the New York City crowd. She said, "Today it was my son. Tomorrow it might be yours." Mimi Rosenberg files this report.
This is Mimi Rosenberg reporting from Police Plaza, the rally for Trayvon Martin. There are thousands of people that are here for the rally. It is a very hot and emotionally charged day at Police Plaza, but the message is clear that the struggle does continue.
The president of the National Action Network, the Reverend Al Sharpton. No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
I am! Trayvon Martin!
Trayvon Martin!
I am!
I am!
Trayvon Martin!
Trayvon Martin!
All right. Around the country today, we call for 100 cities from Atlanta to Miami to Chicago, over 100 cities, we're standing up today for justice for Trayvon Martin. 16 months ago, Attorney Clark, when he called me, I did not know about the case. When he told us the facts, we called a big meeting and said we're going down to San Francisco. But I heard too many times of stories where people are killed and treated like they are worthless. And it was a sense of justice. We said that this man should not be let go. I want to make sure this doesn't happen to any other child. She was in New York this week to do various shows, including mine. And we talked about the 100 cities today. She said, "Well, I'm going to stay here and stay with y'all." I said, "Well, Sabrina, you don't have to do that. People understand you're heartbroken." She said, "People can stand up for me. I'm going to stand up with them." Tracy said, "I'm going to Miami and stand up with them." Javaris, Trayvon's brother, he's here standing up. This is a family that never backed up. Javaris sat on that stand, and with his demeanor, with his calm and cool way, he dispelled everybody that tried to make young black men look like hoods and thugs. May we welcome the matron of the movement, the mother of Trayvon Martin.
I am honored that
you
all decided to take part in this occasion. Because it's one thing to plan events and nobody comes. It's another thing to come to the event and you see so many faces. You see so many people. You see so many signs. I want to come. Trayvon is not here to speak for himself. It's very important that parents, godparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, you speak up for these children. Yes. Trayvon was a child. Yes. And I think sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle. Yes. because as I sat in the courtroom, it made me think that they were talking about another man. And it wasn't. It was a child who thought as a child, who acted as a child. And don't take my word for it. He had a drink and candy. So not only do I vow to you to do what I can for Trayvon Martin, I promise you I'm going to work hard for your children as well, because it's important. I want your voices to be heard, but we have to make sure that we do it in a peaceful manner. Nobody, I feel, is hurting more than me and my family. Please just follow us. Let us lead you. Let us get the proper advice from people, from lawyers and activists and the community leaders, so we can lead you properly, so we can change some of these laws. Thank you.
The legal team that has come, and we stand with them, and we will be guided in our legal strategies. This is a movement, not a moment. Because we intend to change laws and win. We didn't come to just throw a fit and go home and get that off our chest. We got to stop this. And the legal architects of that, Attorney Ben Crump. Thank you. So I'm so grateful to all the Trayvon Martin supporters. Now, we didn't agree with that verdict, but we were all peaceful.
Yes.
Because as Tracy Martin, Trayvon's father, said, Trayvon cannot rest in peace unless we are peaceful. We disagree with this verdict, and we all have the freedom of expression, and we can express that we don't agree with that jury's verdict, because Sabrina's boy was just walking home trying to watch the NBA All-Star Game on February 26, 2012, when the neighborhood watch volunteer with a 9mm gun determined that this child was up to no good. And that is why we're here. People ask, where do we hope to gain with the rally? Well, let us be clear. We need to have a question answered by the Department of Justice. And that question is very simple. If you observe the trial, the defense strategy suggested that because there was a previous act of burglary by an African-American teenager, that this neighborhood watch volunteer somehow had the right to profile and follow any black teenager who walked through his gated community. Well, the United States Supreme Court says not even the police have the right to profile based on a racial group. So now, are we going to let any citizen with a 9mm gun profile our children?
No!
Are we going to let any neighborhood watch with a 9mm gun follow our children?
No!
Are we going to let any neighborhood watch volunteer with a 9mm gun profile and confront our children?
No!
As Sabrina Fulton said this morning, Trayvon's killer started the fight and he ended the fight. And we can never let people forget that. The 911 tape said that Trayvon was running away from his killer. Trayvon went to his grave not knowing who this creepy man was that followed him. So, on Sabrina's behalf, we have to have that question answered by the Department of Justice, because we need to know what to tell our children. And I love Beyonce's statement. I love Jamie Foxx's statement. It's about the children. Don't try to politicize this issue. This is about our children. And don't our children have a right to walk in peace? Sabrina Fulton said, Trayvon is not just my son, he's all our sons. And if it can happen to my son, it can happen to your son. So we all have to stand up for Trayvon. We all have to stand up for justice. And so we have to have the Department of Justice answer that question, because we want to know what to tell our children. And the law is, you cannot profile our children. Then Trayvon's killer need to be held accountable for violating the civil rights of Trayvon Benjamin Martin. This stand your ground law
is
so commonsensical. You should not have the right to be the initial aggressor, to start the confrontation, and then shoot our children and say, I was standing my ground. Does anybody think that makes common sense? So that's why we all have to unite. Black, white, Latino, Asian have to come together and say we need common sense laws. Because there was a sister down in Jacksonville who just shot into the ceiling. And she got convicted for 20 years. So when you think about the killer Trayvon being exonerated and this sister being convicted and sentenced to 20 years, you say that just don't make sense to me. Today, it is Tracy and Sabrina's child. Tomorrow, it may be your child. If we don't stand up, speak up. Thank you.
Judge Mathis.
Thank you, my dear brother. Let us thank our sister Fulton and her family, Sabrina Fulton, for making the biggest sacrifice you could make, the sacrifice of her son. And don't you all let that sacrifice go in vain. We must get out and march against state legislators and governors that have the laws of Stand Your Ground in effect. We must march against them. Most states do not have the Stand Your Ground. Most states, in order to shoot in self-defense, you must first have taken the step to retreat, to defuse it, to stop it. But these backward states with Stand Your Ground laws allow you to shoot first and then ask no questions later. We heard our president talk about the history of African Americans, particularly young men, with law enforcement. We heard him in part say that it was tensions throughout our history. Well, let me remind some and inform others. Since our abolition of slavery, when they enacted the vagrant laws to arrest former slaves who had nowhere to go, nowhere to live, so they arrested them, called them vagrants, locked them up for 5 years, and then worked them in the cotton fields for free. That was an injustice. And then we saw years later the sheriffs who wore the badge during the day, many of them, and wore the hoods at night. That was injustice. And now we see a criminal justice field that in many instances is indeed criminal, where we have a massive, massive prison industrial complex that are locking up our brothers, whom they have rejected, whom they have denied equal opportunity and education and economic deprivation. So I want you to remember, we must fight for equal justice. We must march for equal justice. We must vote for those judges who will administer equal justice. We must vote for those governors and those legislators that will overturn Stand Your Ground laws, or we will overturn them. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judge Mathis.
Letitia James, hi. This is both a proud moment when you see the diversity and the number of people, but again, another terrifying moment in the history of what's happened with African-American youth. But your perspective at this rally, we had Beyonce and Jay-Z and other notables, but we had the people.
Yeah, we had the people. And obviously, Stand Your Ground needs to be repealed in all of these states, one. Two, we need to have a national discussion about how we treat black men and how we criminalize them and all of the stereotypes about black men. My nephew has been stopped and frisked. My dentist has been stopped and frisked. My minister has been stopped and frisked. And stop and frisk and the racial profiling of black men has no place in a civil society, none whatsoever. They're brothers. And so obviously we've come here today to change the perception of black men across this nation, but this is just the beginning.
Do you see a correlation between your efforts in stopping stop and frisk?
The next 2 weeks, we'll be passing two bills, the general inspector bill and two racial profiling. And we need every city council member who voted for it to stand together. If one member is peeled off, we will lose racial profiling. And the mayor of the city of New York misrepresented the facts and has put out blatant lies. He's appealing to race. And every member in the city of New York needs to stand together and make sure these two bills are passed. That's just the beginning. All of us really need to have a discussion about race and how we police the people in the city of New York, particularly black and brown men. And we need an effort to, again, provide jobs to people. A significant number of black men are discriminated against, particularly men who are formerly incarcerated. And if we're concerned about raising all boats, what we need is a massive jobs program and focusing on the infrastructure of the city and the state of New York.
Letitia James, thanks for the work you do. And I see John Liu here. Actually, the last time I saw you was at the memorial for Romali Graham. So you're not new to these terrible tragedies, but what is your sentiment here today, looking at this monster rally and this painful moment in our history?
This is a painful moment, but I am jubilant at the turnout today and all throughout the country, coming out peacefully, voicing their outrage at the verdict. It has been inspiring, not even just the numbers of people, but the diversity. Everyone is demanding change. Change that starts to whittle down this pervasive mindset, particularly among law enforcement and those who think they're law enforcement, that a young teenager of color, even if he's just walking home, must be up to no good. We've got to get rid of that mindset. And that change nationally will have to start here in New York City, because this stand your ground is no worse than stop and frisk. We want to make change. Let's get rid of racial profiling everywhere. Let's start with getting rid of stop and frisk right here in New York City.
Well, thank you for being not opportunistic about this, but being consistent in your perspective, and we wish you good luck in your campaign efforts. We've been speaking with Comptroller John Liu, candidate for the mayor of New York City. That's your mother.
Yeah,
well, you're all clustered together. So I want to get your perspective. How old are you?
8.
And why are you here today?
I'm here because I'm voting for Trayvon Martin. But what Zimmerman did was not really cool and it was not very awesome. He shot Trayvon Martin when he was walking from a store with Skittles and watermelon, Arizona.
And how old are you again?
8.
What's your name, honey?
Zayana.
Okay, I want to talk to your cousin. You are how old?
11.
So you heard what your cousin was saying. What was going on here today?
It was wrong for Zimmerman to shoot him because he wasn't armed. He wasn't armed. All he had was Skittles in Arizona. And I just think that it was really wrong for him to do that.
And you are how old?
11.
And this is your mom?
Yeah.
So you have two lovely young daughters here who are now taking pictures with a justice for Trayvon Martin sign. Why'd you bring them here today?
They wanted to come because they wanted to support and be involved with the Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman.
Thank you. Mostly I'm attracted by two shirts here that I have strong sentiments about. One says, "We will not be silent, communities in support of Khalil Gibran International Academy," and then Cop Watch. So I'm going to start with you. I was rather surprised that a number of people I spoke with here today said Trayvon's death had nothing whatsoever to do with the issue of race. How would you respond to them? And they were African-American youth.
I'm surprised to hear that, quite frankly, because if anything, I think the majority of the country knows, in fact, that this had everything to do with race. And even the president as much as admitted that in his speech. What I'm surprised about, and I got here a little late, unfortunately, but I understand that at such an important rally that no one mentioned that Ray Kelly's being considered for the post of director of Department of Homeland Security, someone who's clearly an enemy of the people and an enemy of people of color and an enemy of young people of color, especially through his incessant stop and frisk campaign. So we can only imagine what somebody like Ray Kelly would be like as the head of Department of Homeland Security. Stop and frisk to the hilt on the border in our communities.
And that shirt stands for what? Does it have any correlation or relationship to all this?
I wore it out obviously because of the slogan, "We will not be silent." It was meant for a campaign to keep a middle school or a high school at the time that was being ostracized by the mayor, try to keep this school from being open, and basically squashed it and ran the director out of her title. But yeah, it's meant for us to say we will not be silent, not about Trayvon, not about stop and frisk, not about stand your ground, not about any of these kinds of injustices.
And as we stand in this sweltering plaza, you are?
I'm David Galatza. I'm with the Justice Committee, and I'm here as an activist, but also I'm here in the spirit of somebody like Richie Perez, who fought for these issues for many, many years, and his 10th anniversary of his passing is going to be marked next year. And we know this heat and this sun is Richie smiling from heaven, that people are rising up against these injustices, and that we've got two laws that are going to be passed, that have been passed, and that are going to overcome a veto, mayoral veto, that Yulsan from the Justice Committee is going to talk so eloquently about next.
Well, that's only if she puts away her cell phone long enough to do it.
You know what I'm trying to do is get Constance Malcolm over here, because I would love
her. Oh, is she here today?
She's here. We came with her. And I just, I would point out.
And we should say that Constance Malcolm is the intrepid, organizing, remarkable mother of another young teen, this time killed by the New York City police, Romali Graham.
That's correct, and I would like to point out Reverend Al Sharpton, he chose to do this rally for Trayvon Martin, who was not killed by a police officer. Zimmerman may have wanted to be a police officer, but he wasn't. But Al Sharpton chose to do this rally in One Police Plaza, and I think that that is an indication that these two things are connected, that racial profiling of citizens watch people and racial profiling of the police, of the NYPD, are very much the same thing. They're very much part of the system. Here in the crowd today, there was a number of mothers and family members of people who've been killed by the NYPD. I saw Nicholas Hayward, Sr. I saw Juanita Young. We were here with Constance Malcolm. Valerie Bell was also on stage. And I think what this says is that all of these family members, they know the pain of Trayvon Martin's family, and they're standing with the family, and they also know that these two things are very connected. The Romali Graham case, the police officer that killed Romali Graham was indicted. The indictment was thrown out because of lack of prosecution on the part of the district attorney's office. We just heard that a grand jury has been reconvened. So we have an opportunity again to see whether, through the criminal justice system, but also through the will of the people, whether or not we can actually hold the police accountable. We can actually demonstrate that the people can come together to make sure that when young, black, and brown lives are lost, that the people are not going to stand for that. And so the day after we hear indictment or no indictment, the verdict of the grand jury, we will also be calling for an action. It will either be a big celebration or it will be to express our outrage that yet another person was taken, the valuable life of a young man of color, has been allowed to walk. And so we hope they will.
So we're also fighting for justice for Romali Graham.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And you do that pretty consistently with Cop Watch.
Yeah, we do. So I'm wearing a Cop Watch t-shirt. I'm also a member of the Justice Committee. We go out with teams into neighborhoods where there's high levels of stop and frisk and other forms of police violence, and we monitor the police because we need them. You know, right now we can't trust the system to hold them accountable. We have to do it.
Thank you.
Take care.
I wrote this because I'm so upset that this black boy was murdered for no reason except racism and bad laws in this country. Okay. People of conscience, please let me impart an American story that's breaking my heart. Young Trayvon went out for Skittles and a can of iced tea, looking forward to a basketball game on TV. Trayvon is dead and Zimmerman's free. No justice, no peace. What a travesty. Zimmerman claimed he was under attack, but Trayvon's only crime was walking while black. Zimmerman reported his unfounded suspicion. This wannabe cop then embarked on a mission. Against police advice, he followed Trayvon. Suddenly, with one shot, this black child was gone. Trayvon is dead and Zimmerman's free. No justice, no peace. What a travesty. At Zimmerman's trial, the jury acquitted. Racial profiling evidence could not be admitted. Trayvon was silenced, so Zimmerman won. No black boy is safe from any stalker with a gun. Trayvon is dead and Zimmerman's free. No justice, no peace, what a travesty. Zimmerman claimed he was under attack, but Trayvon's only crime was walking while black. This story is tragic, it troubles me so. Trayvon reminds me of children I know. They see that the law puts their lives at risk too. What should we say when they ask what to do?
Well, that certainly is a way to show the hearts and the minds and the interests and the sentiments and the continuing organizing of the people who attended the Justice for Trayvon rally in this sweltering police plaza here today. Paul, thanks for punctuating the rally with your song.
I am so full of emotions. I'm so upset about it. I'm glad that I have the opportunity to express them.
It is a very hot and emotionally charged day at Police Plaza, but the message is clear that the struggle does continue, that we must not have just one rally, eradicate the Stand Your Ground laws, make sure there's a civil rights prosecution, and make sure that we continue in the name of Trayvon Martin to make sure to prevent other Trayvon Martins from occurring. This is Mimi Rosenberg reporting from Police Plaza, the rally for Trayvon Martin.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash, and log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.